Thank you, Ronnie. And it's so good to see every one of you here this morning. We just have a little bit of time left, so don't think that your taste buds are telling you wrong. It's almost time to eat. We're looking forward to that. But right before we eat, we're going to look at a scripture just a little bit more. So appreciate your patience, and it's a blessing to have you here. I'm talking about you. You individually, and you and your family. If you're here with your family, if you're not, then we're all adopting each other as a family today anyway for our family day. I don't know how many of you like to watch TV. I don't watch a lot of TV, but occasionally I watch some. You like TV? All right, we've got a few over here. Like to watch TV. Something very popular on television today are reality shows. Rather than just setting everything up, they follow around people and see what they would do in different situations. And that's called reality TV. It's supposed to be the reality. Well, I want you to imagine something. I want you to imagine that there's going to be a television show, a reality television show, and they're going to select a family. One family. And out of that family, there's going to be one family member who's going to be used to do something very, very, very important and amazing for God. Okay? So I want you to imagine that's going to happen. So let's say that for the next hour, there are going to be TV cameras on you and your family. So I could handle that. I think I could do pretty good for the next hour. I believe I'd be okay. Let's say that they're going to keep the camera on you for the next 24 hours. Everything you do, every conversation with your family, there's going to be a camera there. Well, let's stretch it out a little more. Let's say they're going to go 6 months. And then they're going to select the family that's going to do this very, very important, amazing thing for God. How you think your family might do? Well, what if we tell it this way? Let's say instead of they're going to have the camera on you, let's say they've had the camera on you. Not just the last hour or last 24 hours. What about the last 6 months, the last year? They're going to look back, and then there's going to be a selection of a family and one member out of that family to do something very, very important, amazing for God. What if, rather than a group of TV show editors, God Himself was going to make the choice? And of course, God hasn't just had a camera on us for the last 6 months. God knows everything about us. He has viewed every moment of our lives. Ronnie had us in the book of Joshua. We're just going to keep going through. We're going to go to Judges. If you have a Bible, you want to look at Judges chapter 6. There should be a Bible on each row. If you don't have one, and gets poke somebody and get them to pass it down. Judges will be the book we'll look at just for a few moments this morning. Ronnie got us in Joshua, Judges. We'll see who comes up next. Maybe they'll take us on to the next book. Now, we'll stop here. We'll stop here today. Judges chapter 6. There's a man who had something like this happen to him about 3,200 years ago. 3,200 years ago, there was a man named Gideon. And Gideon didn't have any cameras on him. They didn't have cameras back then. But God was watching Gideon. God was watching his family. And God had something very, very, very important and amazing to be done. We're going to set the background just a little bit here, starting in Judges chapter 6. And we'll read the first six verses. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. Now, this is after the Lord has brought them into the land. As Ronnie told us, they were getting ready to come in. They've come in, and now they're doing wickedness. They're sinning. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. Here's another nation, and God says, because of your wickedness, I'm going to discipline you. Like a parent disciplines a child when that child does something wrong. Verse 2, and the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them dens, which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. The Midianites were so strong that the Israelites had to leave their homes and go up and live in the hills. They had to hide out. Verse 3, and so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them, and they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth. They took all their crops that the Israelites had planted, till thou come unto Gaza and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. They took all their animals. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. So all of these countries, these nations are coming against Israel. They're taking their food. They're taking their animals. They're taking their homes. They're coming in such massive numbers that it's like grasshoppers for multitude, not grasshoppers for size, but grasshoppers because there were so many of them. There was no way that Israel, little Israel, could have victory against all these people. But God chose to deliver them. That's God's plan. Now look down at verse 11 for sake of time. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under the oak which was in Ophrah. That's not Oprah. That's Ophrah. That pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. So here's Gideon. Here's the star of our story. Well, not really. Here's one of the characters in our story, and he comes in, and he's hiding out, taking the wheat, and he's threshing it. He's separating it, the good from the bad, but he's having to do it in a hidden place so the Midianites won't come in and take what he's working so hard to have for his family. So here he is in hiding, down there doing that. And we read in verse 12 that the angel of the Lord appeared unto Gideon and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our father told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save or deliver Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent thee? Now listen to what Gideon says in response. And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. God chose a very unlikely man. He had a great job for Gideon to do. He wanted Gideon, this guy who's hiding out, he wants him to go out and lead the people of Israel to a great victory of deliverance over this multitude of people who have come against them. You know, I want to stop right now, and I want to tell you, I want to tell everybody in this room individually, God has something very, very important and amazing for you to do. God does. He had something very, very important and amazing for Gideon to do. He has something very, very important and amazing for you to do. But you know, Gideon thought he had a reason not to do what God had chosen him to do. Here's what he says in essence in verse 15. Not my family. Not my family. The word used for family there is a thought of extended family. Not just his immediate family, but his extended family. And he said, you know what? My extended family is poor in Israel. We're poor. We're poor, we're lowly, we're weak, and I'm the least significant person in my whole family. You got the wrong person, God. You got the wrong one. He felt that his family situation would cause him not to be able to do anything for God. And you may be sitting here this morning, and you might be saying, Mark, some of you kids, maybe you're saying, Mr. Mark, you got good manners, don't you? Mark, Mr. Mark, you don't know my family. We couldn't do anything for God. We're not perfect. We're not even special. We have problems and weaknesses and limitations. You know what? Every family represented in this room has problems and weaknesses and limitations. And there may be families you look at and say, wow, I wish our family could be like that family. I'll tell you, that family you're looking at, they have problems. They have weaknesses. They have limitations. Every family does. Because we're human beings. And you might say, well, you know, we're too poor. That's what Gideon said. You might say, we're too emotional, or we're not emotional enough. We're too shy, or we're too outspoken. We're too tired. We're too busy. We're too disadvantaged. We're too dysfunctional. We're too whatever to do what God wants us to do. Gideon had excuses. Gideon said, not my family. My family, we're poor. We're nothing. We can't be used of God. But you see, the problem was Gideon was looking at himself and his family rather than looking at God. You see, God was the key to Gideon doing what God wanted him to do. God said, Gideon, you go in this your strength. But he wasn't expecting Gideon to go out there in the strength that he had and to go out there and defeat all these Midianites. It wasn't going to happen. God knew that. God was saying, you go out, Gideon, in the strength that I'll give you. Gideon, I am sending you. And what does he say there again in verse 16? Surely I will be with you. I'm going to be with you. You know, the key was God. And as you sit here this morning and you think about God using you and your family, and I'm telling you, God is wanting to use you and your family. And it's not that he's just going to choose one family out of this group. And not that he's just going to choose one person out of one family in this group. No, he wants to use every person, every family that's sitting in this room right now. God wants to use you. And you may have plenty of reasons to say, God, you got the wrong person. God, you got the wrong family. God says, no, I don't have the wrong person. No, I don't have the wrong family. The problem is you're looking at yourself instead of looking at God. And God has worked through the main character in our story, who's not mentioned by name here, but it's Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, God told Gideon, Gideon, I'm with you. And God's presence was all important for Gideon being able to do what God wanted him to do. But you know what? God is not going to be with you until you realize that your sin, as Ronnie has already talked about, your sin, your iniquity, your transgression, whether it be in what you've said or done or thought, the motivations of your heart, until you realize these things separate me from God. That's what Isaiah 59:2 says. But your iniquities, your sins, have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you that He will not hear. So until you realize that if I don't have God in my life, then He can't do anything through me, until you realize that, no, God can't use you. He can't. God's presence must be with you. The Lord Jesus said, without me, you can't do anything that will matter for eternity. Well, God also gave Gideon His power, His strength. And you know what? You don't have any strength until you realize that the Lord Jesus died for you. Again, Ronnie's already spoken of the fact that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died for you. Romans 5:6 says this, for when we were yet without strength, at just the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Have you seen yourself as ungodly? Oh, I'm not that bad of a person. I mean, look at me. I'm sitting here in this building listening to you preach out of the Bible. I mean, I must be pretty good. God says we're all ungodly. We've all sinned. Because again, God's got that camera in our minds as well as on our lives. He knows what we think. He knows why we do what we do. God looks down and says, you're a sinner, but yet I sent my son to save you, to die for your sins. You might say, I'm nothing. That's great. Because you know what God made everything that is out of? You know what God made the universe out of? Do you know the materials God used? Nothing. God made everything out of nothing. And so if you think you're nothing, then you're the perfect material for God to use. But you first got to realize that you are nothing, that you can't do it on your own, that you don't have the ability to do anything to please God, whether it be little or large, because you are a sinner. You're separated from God by your sin, just like me. But you know what? God also told Gideon, Gideon, I've sent you. You see, there was a purpose in God coming to this man. But there will be no direction, no purpose, no meaning in your life until you realize that God cannot send you until you are willing to trust in His Son whom He sent for you. John chapter 3 and verse 17 says, God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. God sent His Son for you, not to condemn you. You know why He didn't send His Son to condemn you and to condemn me? Because we're already condemned. We've sinned. God is holy, and we've sinned against Him, and therefore we are condemned to eternity separated from God in the lake of fire. Jesus doesn't have to condemn us. We're already condemned. He came to save us, to deliver us. Galatians 4 says that in just the right time, when God's prophecy and plan came together, He sent forth His Son to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons, that we might be brought into the family of God. One final verse here in 1 John chapter 4. Here's the love of God demonstrated toward us, because God sent His only Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the acceptable sacrifice for our sins. See, God sent His Son for you. God's Son died on the cross for you. God Himself took your punishment so that you could be forgiven of your sins. God raised His Son from the dead so that we might know that He is the one, and so that we might receive Him, not just the memory of Him, not just the thought of somebody who died, but that we might receive personally someone who is alive today, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, died for you and rose again. And if you are willing to admit to God, I am a sinner. I deserve to be separated from you for all eternity. But I believe your Son died for me. I believe His death paid the penalty for my sin, because He had no sin. And I believe He rose again, and I want Him to be my Savior. God will take your life, and He will change your life, and He will make you a new person. And no, you won't be perfect. Not in this life, but you'll have an ability to do what is right, to please God, and He's got great and amazing things for you to do. You may not be famous, but God will use you in a way that in the ages to come, the angels will watch and say, wow, God, how you use that person. He or she seems so insignificant. In that difficult family situation, God, you brought that and you worked a miracle there. God can do that. We'd love to talk with you more about it. We've kind of scratched the surface, Ronnie and I, this morning. But Ronnie would love to. I would love to. Many here would love to talk with you. We're going to give thanks. We're going to go up to the activities building, enjoy lunch. But I'll be down here at the front. Catch me, catch someone else, catch us up in the gym. We'd love to talk with you. This is very important business. We're glad you're here. We're thankful that God brought you out here. We're going to close in prayer. And then we're going to have just a verse of a hymn played. And while that's being played, we're going to ask those with the van ministry if they can go on up to eat, because they need to get on the vans and get back home. So we'll let them go first, and they'll do that as that hymn plays. And you use that time to think about your condition before God. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you today for this special family day. We thank you for every family and every individual who's here. Lord, we thank you for the time we've had to consider your word. So we've looked in the books of Joshua and Judges, and Lord, we could have looked at any of the books in the Bible, because they all point to your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the focal point of this local church, and Father, he is to be the focal point of every life. One day he will be the focal point of the universe. Father, as every knee bows and every tongue confesses that he is Lord to your glory. But Father, we know that some will bow their knee too late to have that relationship with you, to be forgiven of their sins and to be in heaven. Father, we pray that everyone in this room who has not yet trusted the Lord Jesus will do that today and will know they are on their way to heaven. Father, we thank you for your desire to use us. Thank you for loving us. And Father, we praise you for the gift of salvation through your Son, the Lord Jesus, in whose name we give thanks for this food and our time. Amen.